Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Yellow.
Yellow, everyone.
Yellow.
Yellow. So this is number, are we calling this 16.5 or 17?
Depends upon if we make it a full podcast or not.
Okay. We have some time constraints today, so we might get cut short, but...
And Mike, I'm sorry about the foil, but we're under such time constraints that I'm having to eat now live during the podcast.
We're taking bets. Well, I guess we're taking post-podcast bets as to whether or not Scott dies trying to shove this. It's a burrito as big as his head, and he's gonna eat it. I can tell right now. He's gonna get the whole thing done.
Oh yes.
We have a special guest today.
Hello.
Hey, Randall Marsh, who you might know from writing our theme song, but also more likely you know from Nyan Cat genre hopping.
Yes, which you shared. So
which I shared, yes. And surprisingly didn't even have to share because people are totally sharing it. Anyway, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, just recently, actually, I've seen the analytics spike. Not mm-hmm. spike, but they're climbing, which is even better than
right.
the spike.
Well, AFK shared it, so.
Yes, they did. Am I?
Yeah. Well,
you guys can get a little closer.
Okay. Got,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the Andrew sisters.
Arid, extra dry.
Oh, you're old. but I recognized it, so yeah. I'm old, too.
Thank you.
I'm not that old. How did I recognize that?
I don't know. Get a little closer.
You're hanging
don't
with us.
Don't be shy.
I am that old. I'm just, radio doesn't betray that.
Yeah, he doesn't look that old though, trust me. So Randall, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I do all sorts of things, but I guess the best place to start, I live in LA, which allows me to do all sorts of things. I studied music, which is why I was able to crank out a theme song for you guys. I majored in composition, moved to LA for film scoring, and sort of fell into screenwriting.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, because I've been writing my whole life. I did some theater writing, wrote some stage plays. I did a full 75-minute musical for my college capstone, which was fun.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as impressive if you were to try to hold it up to real Broadway, but kind of given what I had to work with.
You're talking to people who, like, I mean, our idea of a capstone is, oh, we can't burn the cordon bleu. So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, that was the idea, because I think people were expecting one thing for, like, a senior recital. I'm going to show up and be bored, and I was like, I'm going to hit you. Some song and dance, you know? And there's no dance, but a lot of song.
Mm.
But, yeah, I've been screenwriting mainly. I've done a lot of comedy, television sort mm-hmm. of stuff, mm-hmm. and then I just finished a feature-length biopic that we're
nice.
Trying to get off the ground.
Nice.
Yeah. Is there any TV shows that we would recognize or the sitcoms that you've written?
No. I had one project that almost got completely off the air. We got picked up by Mark Cuban's, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's one of those guys who sees something interesting and he sort of jumps on it.
Yep.
And then kind of gets distracted by something shiny and goes in a different direction. But he actually canned his whole network. He sold it to Ryan Seacrest right when we were about to go into pre-production, and just it all fell apart from there.
Mm.
Gotcha.
Which led to some other things, though. Other people
well,
we had
that
together.
Ryan Seacrest, son of a bitch.
Know. Ryan Seacrest, high-fiving blind guys, I tell you.
He's behind every bad thing that happens in the industry, it seems like. And now I've experienced it personally, and it's like, it's
I don't know.
True.
I don't know. Justin Timberlake took over MySpace. So I wouldn't say Ryan Seacrest behind
did he take,
right. Unless Ryan Seacrest told Justin Timberlake to buy MySpace.
Oh, Justin Timberlake played the guy on The Social Network that started Napster, and yet now he's taking over MySpace?
Yes. It's a music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meta.
So, man, that's awesome. Thank you for coming out, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
We finally were able to get you your camera.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it since, like, the second podcast, I think. And
somewhere in there,
yeah. So Randall actually
he flew in all the way just for the podcast, by the way.
Yeah,
so you lucky listeners, your ear holes should be pretty happy right now.
This is for you.
I didn't prepare one bit, unfortunately.
Oh, like we don't prepare.
Yeah,
we don't prepare. The closest we're going to get to preparation is in a second here. Scott's mic's going to go dark because he's going to be leaning over to try and find questions that have been asked. Because we don't have them written down. Okay, well, what do we got? Let's get it.
We got Thomas Brophy and Brian Lewis.
Thomas Brophy and Brian. Does that include Twitter?
Yes.
Cool. So let's start.
Thomas on Twitter, Brian on Facebook.
I'm pretty sure.
And Trampus, Brian still did it wrong.
I'm pretty sure Trampus sent us a direct message on Two Bards as well.
Did he?
Which no. Mean, yeah, it'd be in your direct messages, which is what
now
you told
we're going
him to
dark.
Do. It's what you told him to do.
No, I told him to still tag.
God damn it. Tag it with Two Bards Podcast.
It doesn't matter. That won't show up if it's a direct message. PMs don't show up like that. So don't PM.
I meant direct messages in.
Post on our wall.
Yes.
Please post on our wall. Public post on our wall, tagged with Two Bards Podcast.
Is you know I don't know how to talk about the Facebook.
The Facebook. So while he's looking that up, I will. Is that a fucking ice cream truck? That's an ice cream
truck. Oh, good ears. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there it is.
Journey Quest Season 1.
Wow. Yeah. Well, remind us to tell you guys about Journey Quest Season 1 sometime. We won't. It's right. I can see his face. There we go. So the way we met Randall was actually the Cracked Film Competition
That's right.
I think we had maybe one podcast where we were able to plug it, because they screwed up their voting and kept going after the fact, which was weird.
Was that the inception of Two Bards? That was sort of like your kickoff.
That was the very first thing we produced.
Yeah,
as Two Bards. That's true. The Cracked video.
Oh yeah.
And the funny,
sorry, Trampus, you did it right.
Facebook didn't do it right.
Oh, so the way that this worked out is actually Christian had come over. I don't remember why exactly. I think we were getting ready to film something else with Zombie Orpheus. Christian came over and we were like, hey, we've already got one video. Let's make another one real quick. So we went out. This was the day that they were due. We went out to a park, filmed John Hamm, threw it together, and then dropped it. I edited it all on a Surface, like on the fly, dropped it. You know, we were like you guys were doing. We were cutting like frame by frame by frame.
Right, just to
cuts.
Keep it under that 30-second
mark.
Yeah,
and then we end up getting picked.
Your second video was the one that they picked.
The first video was, what was it? It was Kayla Bunch, basically saying that the light clock experiment proves, or no, that the new time dilation experiments could be reevaluated through the light clock experiment, and then we got all upset saying that would mean that energies, or that the God particle would be a vibration, and no one experiences God through a vibration.
That's not
and
she ra-
no,
yeah.
no, no. And she raises her hand and says, "Right here." And it's actually a giant masturbation joke.
Okay,
but yeah, that's not going to fly with. It's not just Cracked. It's the company,
not the interwebs.
Yeah,
general.
Not the company that was monitoring the videos. That's for sure.
Mm.
So, so anyway, we threw that together. That was our first real thing. And then we ended up, I don't know if you, have you heard the first podcast? Because we actually plugged you.
No, I didn't go that far back. I started okay. Tuning in after we sort of connected
right.
through the final.
Yeah, we plugged you guys because we were like, hey guys, we don't mind losing to, we were talking about yours specifically, the Netflix one.
Oh.
But we don't want to lose to
that other asshole.
This,
yeah,
yeah well, because he was overtime
yeah.
and it was a ripoff of a 1990s MTV show. Cartoon Sushi. So yeah, we were, jeez, it's getting louder. Why
Japanese fish shaped waffles.
That was non sequitur.
Yeah.
Okay. Japanese fish shaped waffles, everyone. So why do ice cream trucks play when the Saints go marching in?
They've been playing Christmas music in my neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Because they got tired of
Turkey in the Straw.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was thinking The Entertainer. That's the other one.
Yeah, that's the classic.
Yeah. See, I always heard Turkey in the Straw. No, wait. Is that Turkey in the Straw? I don't remember.
Oh, man, I can't even place it now.
Yeah, anyway, that's Dan Tucker. I was just singing Dan Tucker.
No, I'm thinking Farmer in the Dell.
Farmer in the Dell. Yeah, they do that too. Hmm. Okay, so I guess they don't always. Now we actually have an entire playlist for these ice cream trucks. They're actually pretty varied.
And go crazy, Seth.
Oh, Seth got it. What did Seth do?
Ask oh, me. He's going to have a whole bunch of musical links for oh. Farmer in the Dell, Chicken in the Straw.
Let's turkey.
Just pile
turkey.
It on.
Yeah. Actually, Turkey in the Straw, the first time I ever heard
that. I want to hear Ronnie James Dio.
First time I ever heard Turkey in the Straw was on a Disney show. It was Goofy, Mickey, and Donald were fixing a giant clock tower. They were like watch repairmen fixing a giant clock tower. It's the first time I remember ever hearing that, and I was a little kid. So anyway, all that happens. I contacted Randall, basically saying, hey, congratulations. We really like your thing.
Sort of commiserated over how badly things had been run.
They were being run so badly. Yeah. Like we had a common enemy. And it was the, now this isn't Cracked. Cracked wasn't doing this. It was
they're a great site in general.
Yeah, it was the marketing team that Cracked had hired to run this,
right.
This challenge. We'd both hoped for the same thing. We want to be on the front page. We don't really care about the prize as much.
Yeah.
And then in talking to Randall, I was like, oh, well, you know, we have a lot of cameras. How about if I just send that one to you?
Yes, I have no cameras.
And so,
no, we do.
And then we didn't send it. And then we just lied to this man for months.
It's okay, because it all worked out in the end. And in the end, it wasn't really about the camera. I'm actually more excited to make connections
right,
with people
right.
who are doing things. Because one thing, actually, that I, you know, in getting to know the both of you, that I've noticed you guys have, which I'd say partially is
chutzpah?
Why you won, in a way, is that I don't have a network. I don't have, like, a group of people that I can, like, call on to do production. I've got a few people who are really, you know, like, doing their own thing, and LA sort of can be like that. I'm like, well, these guys have a production team of. So I was curious just kind of see, and you have you know, your Kickstartering things, your crowdsourcing things, and your fan funding things, and I'm really interested in just sort of seeing how you operate. And
it's been crazy. I mean, to think that we were able to, I mean, we were kickstarting Gamers 3 right alongside Charlie Kaufman's big project.
Really?
And we beat him for 36 hours.
Nice.
His just closed later than ours, or we would have beat him.
Wow.
But it was, that was pretty cool. And so, what was that? Animalisa? I think? I forget the name of it. Seth, find it. Charlie Kaufman's Kickstarter project.
Where's that now?
I've been getting, well, so I backed it. A lot of us backed it, actually.
Hmm.
And, you know, we because it wasn't about, I'm sorry, I'm playing with my keys. Sorry. It wasn't about having the highest funded movie on Kickstarter. It was about having the record broken over and over again in the same week. That was what was cool.
Yeah.
So we were totally behind that. Tony wasn't. Tony wanted to go down to LA and wring his neck.
Yeah, I did too.
We love you, Charlie. He's not listening. So
I just hate that a Hollywood type.
Now, right. Hold on.
It's like the Zach Braff thing.
See, yeah. I disagree. I think it's fine because it's fans paying money for something they want to see. He's just selling it through a medium that people are like really defensive about being this indie thing. It's not though, and it hasn't been. I mean, when you're making game budgets of, you know, $15, $20 million on Kickstarter, it's not indie anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a real funding system. So to me, he couldn't go. He couldn't get backing from a studio for it. The studios wouldn't back it. Just because he has a lot of money himself doesn't mean that it's necessarily something
he Then he risk. Doesn't really believe in it.
No, I think he believes in it. I think he paid a lot for it out of his pocket anyway. I just, you know, I don't have any issue whatsoever with Zach Braff.
Really?
All right. Yeah. All right. Be on your, get, you know.
Just saying. You know, the little man has to have some place to go to without the big men going and pissing in it. Start your own. I'm obscenely rich and I need money anyway. .com foundation for social networking.
I guess I'm the odd man out here because I totally think that I fully support Zach Braff.
I think fan funding is fine for anyone at any level.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you come in and all of a sudden you're seeing, hey, this is working for the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come in and do it. Now you've just elevated the thing for the little guy that no longer the little guy can use.
Right.
Because now the bigger thing is, people with more reach are going to be. I mean, we did this with zero reach. Charlie Kaufman and Zach Braff have huge reach.
Yeah, but I could also argue that quality was there for them to have that reach before. And, you know, so, I mean, that's the argument is they've been proven and they're consumable. And, you know, we can still put out our Kickstarters and do it that way. And I mean, there's money out there. And if you make something people want to see, they will back it. Your people will back it.
Well, is it a zero-sum game is the question, you know? Or is their presence elbowing other people out? Because that kind of does change things.
Well, and I mean, there's Kickstarter fatigue. We're already seeing that. Mm-hmm. But that's not because of Zach Braff. That's because, you know, we're putting out five campaigns a year.
Right.
And other people that are in our network are putting out tons of campaigns a year. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got mini campaigns all the time. You've got dungeon set piece campaigns and new games, and you know, I mean, there's a fatigue, and I don't think Zach Braff is really tapping our market.
Okay. No, he's not tapping our market, but he's elevating. They're taking the medium and running with it and making it into something else.
Right, because that's the big concern. Are they going to co-opt it?
You know? Right. And I mean, we kind of already knew. I mean, we've been talking about Kickstarter hitting this for a while.
Yeah.
Way before Zach Braff, we knew that what was eventually going to happen, when there's money to be had, money finds a way to increase itself.
Right.
And money will start pouring into, I mean, people are now creating Kickstarter videos that have a budget that rivals the Kickstarter movies that were being funded a year ago.
Yeah.
So like Veronica Mars, that Kickstarter video probably cost $50,000, but they made $4 million.
Right.
Whatever, you know, so
that was actually a cracked video. They had a Swaim kickstartering his Kickstarter video.
Right. I remember that. That was actually pretty funny. So also you've hit a point where Kickstarter is now a parody site. I mean, have you seen some of the fake Kickstarters that are out there, like Cobra Commander and
or the one you did?
Oh yeah, that's right.
$2.
Oh nice.
Well, yeah, like I did Better Off Dead. Yeah. The kid grew up and he just wanted to kickstart $2 so he could get back to his life. Poor guy.
I'm just saying, Charlie Kaufman and Zach Braff should back some of our shit.
Well, that would be cool, and that would be nice.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, who the fuck are these guys? I don't, you know, so, yeah, whatever. I mean,
if Charlie has to actually say, who the fuck are these guys, he needs to get punched in the nuts.
One of our proudest moments, though, was our Kickstarter ended and forced Charlie Kaufman. Well, it wasn't Charlie Kaufman. It was Starburns, whatever that guy's name is.
Right.
Anyway, it forced him to post an update asking for just enough money to beat us.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty proud moment right there when you're forcing a Hollywood insider to beg for like $3,000.
Yeah.
Get their hands dirty.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. So anyway, should we get to some questions since we've got time constraints?
I think we should. So we have Brian Lewis asks or writes in to say, what character in geekdom would you want to be for a day? And at what time period? As an example, young Luke Skywalker versus Grandmaster Luke Skywalker. So,
Bill what Murray character? And Groundhog Day.
Get the long day out of it.
Get the long day out of it.
Yeah, okay.
That's geekdom. That totally counts.
Okay. Sure.
It's a time travel movie.
I'm not questioning. I'm just asking.
Yeah, because I would have like thrown away that Andy McDowell like arc right away. I would have been forget this.
You would be stuck in that town though. I think that was the implication of the movie.
Punxsutawney?
Punxsutawney, man. Who cares? Yes. Yeah. I don't know, man. Who would I be?
I want to be Sean Bean in every movie right before he dies.
I'd want to be the person least like me. So Lana Kane. Right? A strong, empowered black woman. I would take that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you're going to experience something, why not experience a thing that's least like yourself?
Spider-Man.
Sean Bean, yeah.
Spider-Man. I just sort of, you know, just for the fun of it.
But not Peter Parker, because fuck that guy.
No.
You don't want that. You don't want his bills. Mean, just Spider-Man.
One day. I would spend the whole day just zipping around.
Yeah.
And then.
Fucking, oh, look, it's Mary Jane paging again. Yeah, whatever. But. Because you can't afford your cell phone. I mean, he's fucking Peter Parker.
Mary Jane.
I mean, it's like the pot thing.
Right. Oh.
Spider-Man's a metaphor for green. Okay, did we answer that?
No,
one?
Dude, don't you get it? Because she's a fire crotch and you fire your roach, man. Whoa. Don't you get it? Man.
Thomas Brophy writes in and asks.
Doc Ock's like a hookah. So.
Yes. Wow.
Did you pick one?
Yes, yeah, it's Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought that was a joke.
Nope.
You can't even read Yeats.
I know.
All right.
So Thomas Brophy says, hey, two bards. In honor of Pacific Rim that Thomas and I and Randall went to go see on Thursday, what classic kaiju monster would you want to be except for Godzilla?
Voltron, duh. Voltron all the way.
Well, I think it would be the monster, not the robot, right?
Oh. Well, I don't care then.
Well, you can answer that question.
Oh, so yeah.
Classic monster. Kaiju monster.
Yeah, so, well, see, Mothra sucked. She flew to the moon. That's just boring. Mecha Gojira is awesome. And that doesn't count as Godzilla. That's a different,
right?
It's a different monster. Rodan, I don't know.
I am going to go totally far afield, and no. I'm going to go with Mecha Streisand.
Wow. I'd just be the atomic bomb, which is what it was all a metaphor for anyway. Classic I'm the atomic kaiju. Bomb. Classic kaiju atomic bomb. Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mecha Streisand from South Park.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Well, if you're doing... What about the Sarlacc pit? That doesn't seem like it's classic kaiju, but that would be kind of cool because it lived like thousands of years.
Not even close to kaiju.
No, but it takes 10,000. Could you imagine how backed up that thing gets? Like what its Monday morning is like?
Well, the thing that really...
It's got to read a newspaper that's the sum of all human knowledge just to... Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt must have been really stupid because he said, you're going to die. It'll take 10,000 years to... die digested in the Sarlacc. No, because the Sarlacc can't keep you alive for the 10,000
no,
years.
No,
you're going to die in a couple of days and just be floating around in his intestinal tract
right,
for
right.
10,000
according
years.
To the extended universe, it does keep you alive. That's sort of the horror
shit.
Of it. Yeah,
really?
That's the idea.
Sure it doesn't keep you alive for 12 parsecs? Sorry. Now, the Sarlacc's good. And I'm talking the original pit in the sand Sarlacc, not the weird fucking...
Beak thing.
Yeah. The asteroid slug head that comes out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, it was more like it was very
Aubrey
beaky.
Too.
It was more like the sandworms from.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, what does Trampas have to?
Trampas says, "What in your opinion is the best bad movie or top few? If you can't decide, I know I can't narrow it to one."
And he picks a lot of the ones we were talking about.
Troll 2.
Yes.
Troll 2, The Room.
Oh, Birdemic. I forgot about
Birdemic, too, yeah.
Sharknado.
I haven't even seen it.
Is it good? Or is it bad?
It came out on Sci-Fi. It's going to be horrible.
I haven't seen it either,
but...
I like...
Saw the trailer.
Fuck, what is that?
John Hurd is
in it. It's got Corey Feldman and demonic toy puppets. Oh, what is it called?
Puppet Master
4, specifically.
Oh, I've seen the first one.
Yeah, 4 is the one that's actually, like, it's the shittiest of all of them, and it's ridiculously badly hilarious.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was going to say, because the only thing I've got is Blood Rain, and it's the worst movie ever, period, end of story.
Yeah,
not
that's the
problem.
That's the problem, is Uwe Boll doesn't make... bad cult movies. He makes bad movies.
Bad.
Yeah.
Though,
period.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Postal. I actually liked Postal. It had, well, first of all, I mean, I'm a huge Dave Foley fan. Kids in the Hall.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's my hero for comedy. Yeah.
And he's in it. Unfortunately, you get to see all of him, which is kind of a horrifying thing.
Blame Canada.
He's old. Yeah.
Recently, he's kind of exploded.
Yeah. And this is about that time. Yeah. But the whole movie was a parody of bad movies, calling Uwe Boll bad at making movies, and he made them. It was pretty, I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It also had, Zach.
Galifianakis?
No, not Galifianakis. Slow down there, Turbo. Zach Ward from A Christmas Story, Scud Farkas. He was also in Titus. The show Titus with Christopher Titus,
yes,
the younger brother.
Okay, yeah.
So Zach Ward was in it. He was the protagonist, as much as you could be in a movie about, blowing up nuns. So he was in it. Normal eyes. They weren't yellow.
Okay,
I swear to God, good. Not yellow eyes.
They weren't actually in the film.
No, they weren't. No. He was a good little, horrifying looking child, too, back in the day. Funny story about Christmas Story, right? Is that the director also directed Black Christmas, which is a cult horror movie. I want to say Jamie Lee Curtis was in the first one. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, it was a horrible movie about a dude who ate people's skin. And he's the guy who wrote A Christmas Story, too. So, yay!
All right.
Or not wrote, sorry. Directed. Yeah, so.
He's covering his bases.
He is.
Well, speaking of Dave Foley, have you ever seen his film, The Wrong Guy?
Yes.
That was a pretty bad movie, but I loved it.
True.
It was a bad premise for a movie, and it's like, I kind of feel like they knew that going into it.
Yeah.
And they sort of rolled with it.
It was, I don't know, I enjoy those weird cop chase movies anyway.
Yeah.
And the fact that this was a non-cop chase movie, it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
It was so weird. And then, of course, Brain Candy. All hail Brain Candy.
Didn't love it.
Yeah. You should have found your happiest memory and should have held on to it chemically.
My happy pie.
Yeah, you're just I don't know what any of that is. Babies.
It's all Kids in the Hall
movie. Yeah. It's their first movie. It's their only movie, I think. But they
Brain Candy. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen it then.
It's Prozac. It's Prozac. Essentially, they invent this thing that holds on to your happiest moment chemically, and these people are all living in their heads, and anyway, so it's funny.
All I think of when anybody says anything that ends in candy is Hard Candy, and that's a scary, scary, awesome movie.
Ellen Page?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
and the guy that was creepy. Owl.
Yeah, yeah, in Watchmen, yeah.
And also in Pacific Heights.
He wasn't Owl in Pacific Heights.
No.
He was not Night Owl in Pacific Heights.
He was in Pacific Heights. I
know. Okay, yes, that he was, but he was not Night Owl in Pacific Heights.
No.
That would have been a completely different movie.
Totally.
Would have rented it.
And the best ever use of Hallelujah ever.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that
was... What I didn't like about it is it wasn't the Leonard Cohen version. I like the Leonard Cohen version.
See, when I tried to look it up, I think it was
a Leonard Cohen version.
No, it wasn't. That was the whole thing. It was the what's his name?
It wasn't Jeff Buckley.
Yes, it was Jeff Buckley.
In Watchmen?
In Watchmen. It was Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
Okay, I think I've looked this up before, so I'm going to look it up now.
I honestly haven't seen it in a while, but I remember feeling that song in general had been overused.
Right.
Maybe it was Jeff Buckley.
The big problem is after the movie, everyone's like, oh, Jeff Buckley. So maybe it was Leonard Cohen, but everyone assumed it was, assumed Jeff Buckley wrote that song, and that just wasn't true. It's like people assuming that
everyone thinks Red, Red Wine is Bob Marley.
Right. Right.
Even though the original song was written by Tom Jones or something.
That was Bob Dylan, wasn't it? No, maybe you're right. Maybe it was Tom Jones. Yeah. You're right.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. Thank you.
Yes.
And then what's the other big one right now? Because it was an amazing cover of the cover of Mad World by Jay Giles, or not Jay Giles at Centerfold.
I don't know who redid it, but the one that was in Donnie Darko.
Yeah. That's the one. But the original one was what? Tears for Fears. Yeah. So,
are we looking it up?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Jeff Buckley's version was the one used, but
I did like most of the casting in Watchmen. I thought, Rorschach.
Rorschach, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like Billy Crudup, fine. Like I'm cool. It was Billy Crudup, right? The play Dr. Manhattan.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't Billy Corgan. That would have been a different movie entirely.
I wouldn't have watched that.
No. I might've in 1979. Overall, though, Rorschach was my favorite casting.
That was the character from the graphic novel to me.
I liked the new Freddy Krueger movie. I liked the new Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm. I liked it, and it was because of him.
No, he was strong. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. I mean, that's Leonard Cohen. I'm looking at Leonard Cohen on that page.
Mm-hmm.
But
Zack Snyder Snyder said, it was the version by Alison Krauss.
Oh.
And it was really very beautiful. Too beautiful, as it turned out. Because when I showed it to my buddies, they were like, wow, you really mean this love scene. So I was like, okay, that didn't work. But with the Leonard Cohen in that moment, a little sadder of a song, a little bit more twisted, a little bit more broken.
So it was Cohen that he used. So it was, okay.
Apparently.
Gotcha. Leonard Cohen. Okay.
But it was a weird version because I've never heard that version. Because I kept looking it up and going, oh, okay.
Leonard Cohen version has different lyrics than the Jeff Buckley version. Slightly.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're slightly different. So.
Okay.
But Jeff Buckley is the one that everyone knows. Even though, yeah.
I like to hear the Alison Krauss version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the one they used in Shrek, who's by, I'm not going to remember his name. Another Jeff Buckley-esque guy, but different versions. And that one came and became famous.
Who was the other one? Mark Anthony did a bunch. Or did he do a cover of that? He did a cover of Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald that got a lot of play. It was really cool, but that's a song that I used to love until I realized that all of the history I learned from it was completely wrong. They got the wrong port, the wrong number of people on the ship, the wrong survivor. There wasn't it. You know, I mean, it was wrong the whole way through.
Didn't you learn that at BerserkCon?
No, I learned it before BerserkCon.
Okay.
I felt the shame because everything was the Edmund Fitzgerald everything.
Yes.
So, because Duluth, you know, big Edmund Fitzgerald town. So,
are we answering a question now?
I don't even know.
What those are the questions.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Best bad movie.
Best bad movie. That's yes. Right. Yes.
And then we got on.
What? Man.
Somehow.
Zardoz.
Zardoz. We talked about Zardoz. Yeah. Zardoz or Xanadu for me. Mm-hmm. Xanadu was awful and awesome. And horrible and wonderful.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Was it Star
ELO?
Children? What was that?
No, there was Xanadu. And then there was.
That Flash Gordon movie was pretty bad.
You mean Flash Gordon?
Flash Gordon.
Oh, God. You know what, though?
That was so interesting.
The one with Queen?
Yeah.
Hush your mouth, good sir.
Hush your mouth. The soundtrack was great, and you can have a great soundtrack to a bad movie.
I know, but Brian Blessed was in it.
Exactly.
Timothy Dalton. Exactly. It wasn't a bad movie.
That's what made it awesome.
Was he Hawkman? Was he the Hawkman?
He was one of the leader.
The leader of the Hawkman, right?
Yeah.
Hawkman died!
I have an oversized mouth and beard!
He did.
Black Adder.
He did the voice of that big Gungan guy in
Oh, Boss
one.
Nass.
I didn't
Boss
know that
Nass
until recently. That's Brian Blessed.
Is it Nass or Nass?
Mm.
Nass? Boss Nass.
Something like
that.
Which kind of makes me like it a little more.
Yeah, not really, though. Mm.
Timothy Dalton before he was Bond.
Yeah. The guy who plays Dame Edna did the voice for Bruce in Finding Nemo. I always thought that was really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. I know he plays Dame Edna. The Australian cross-dressing.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, so fish your friends, not food. You know, that was him. So, anyway, that's all I got.
Zardoz.
Zardoz, yes. I will allow it. And in light
Kiss of... Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park.
Was that the Christmas special?
No. It was
What's
only
the Christmas
movie?
Santa Claus special? That was a cartoon. Remember Chris... Kiss Saves Christmas or something like
that? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't have that one.
Yeah. Remember that fucking weird ass... like, the first time you ever saw Boba Fett was in the Christmas special
That's
in
right.
animation.
That's right.
And he was weird looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen... There's a new shirt I want. It's one of the old Hunter S. Thompson style drawings, but it's Boba Fett, so it's Bounty S. Hunter.
Nice.
Like, yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And it's that... That old line drawing style from the 60s and 70s, that's just not, nobody does it anymore.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well.
That would go good with my good, the bad, and the bounty poster.
That's true, it would. So, should we keep going or do you want to wrap it up? Time-wise, if we want to get to, we're wiring Scott's electronics, so we're going to cut short so he can have Xbox.
Yes. And a TV and other stuff. And then we have to go shoot Kirby Crackle.
Kirby Crackle. We are
which is
tonight.
Why
we're
up
going
against
to,
it.
Yep. We're up against the wall. We're going to film Kirby Crackle at their hometown show tonight, along with the Double Clicks and a couple of other awesome bands. Their new album just released. Go check it out. And then we would have put this off, but Scott's filming a commercial tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
Across the mountains.
For LifeWise, Primera's LifeWise campaign. I'll be fly fishing.
Good for your health.
For 4 seconds.
For 4 seconds.
Huzzah. Mm. And on a lesser light note.
Is that like the sound of your hard drive spinning up? Like,
I'm really not much of one for this, but for those who do, please keep my mom in your hearts tonight. She may need it. So when you're listening to this, please send her some good healing vibes. I'd appreciate it if that is something that you do.
Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.
As always.
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
Almost forgot, Seth. Ooh. Oh, you almost didn't have to put the Star Talk link in. That would have sucked.
No.
Yeah.
Because Neil.
Neil.
Help my mom. Come on our podcast.
Come use your science.
Yes.
That would be great. Your science
would be awesome right now.